Well, good morning, Grace Powell Church. Thank you, Pastor Bob and worship team, for leading us in worship this morning. We are going to continue this morning in the story of hope. This is our Christmas series where we're focusing on different Bible characters during the Christmas season. 2 weeks ago, we focused on, believe it or not, King Herod. And you'll recall in the book of Matthew, Herod was disturbed. And so we asked this question, why are we disturbed? Why are we troubled? Why are we losing hope? Ultimately, the conclusion of that sermon was that God is in control. He's the one who sits on the throne. And so we can have hope when we allow God to rule and reign our lives. 2 weeks ago, that was the message. If you missed it, make sure you go to our website. Last week in particular, we studied the story of Joseph. And we learned this, that hope is a choice. Specifically, in Joseph's story, Joseph made four choices to hope, and he proved it when he chose to believe, when he chose to trust, when he chose to obey the word of God. And again, this message is also online. Well, today, we want to focus on the story of Mary. So if you have a Bible, please turn with me to Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 26 through 38 this morning. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. We're going to look at the story of Mary, and we're going to learn how it's a story of hope. Look at what the Bible says, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Verse 28 says, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will... He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Now, obviously, this passage of scripture is very familiar to us. We read it every single Christmas time. But the title of my message from this familiar passage is called The Gift of Hope. And so let's pray. Let's ask God to teach us this morning, to challenge us, and to remind us of truth. Father God, we thank you and praise you for the opportunity we have to look at the story of Mary. Father, even though we might be familiar with this story, I pray that you will remind us of your truth, that you'll remind us of hope this morning, that you will encourage us, that you will challenge us. And I pray, Father, that all of us will make applications so that we will look and live more like Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So let's talk about this message, the gift of hope. As a way of an illustration, let me ask you this question. What gift are you hoping for this Christmas? I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of popular gifts this specific Christmas in the year 2020, and one of the gifts that a lot of people are hoping for is the PlayStation 5. There's not too many available. People are trying to find them. It's apparently the hot gift this year. I want to assure you, and I want to assure my kids, they're not getting this gift this year. Sorry, right? Some others are hoping for maybe a new iPhone, the iPhone 12 mini, or perhaps perhaps the iPhone 12 Max. That's on their wish list. Others are hoping to receive a virtual reality headset. That's the new thing going on. And maybe you're a little bit more simple. You just want a plush toy, maybe like this baby Yoda, right? But the point is this, this coming Christmas, which is less than a week, all of us are hoping for some sort of a gift, right? All of us are looking at that gift under the Christmas tree. We might see our name on a package, and that brings us a hope. Well, I want to share this morning that Mary actually received five gifts, and these five gifts brought her life hope. So let's talk about the five gifts from this passage that God gave Mary. I don't know if you've ever thought of it this way, but in the passage that is so familiar that we read every Christmas time, God gave her five gifts. And as a result of these five gifts, her life was filled with hope. So let's check this out. Let's learn the gifts that God gave Mary, and then we'll make some applications to you and I, to our lives this morning. Look at the five gifts that God gave Mary. Number one, God gave Mary the gift of his grace. God gave Mary the gift of his grace. We find this specifically in verse 28. Look at what the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 28. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, I've highlighted this phrase, highly favored. Notice in the very next verse, in verse 29, Mary was troubled by these words. She was perplexed by these words. Now think about this. I find this fascinating. She wasn't perplexed or troubled by the fact that she was talking to an angel. She was perplexed and troubled by the words that the angel said to her. The angel greeted young Mary with the words, "Mary, you are highly favored." So just for a moment, I want to ask the question, what does the phrase highly favored mean? Because this is very controversial in the religious circles. Matter of fact, denominations have split over the meaning of this phrase, that Mary is highly favored. Well, when you study the original language, Greek, you learn that the Greek language says when she's highly favored that she was a special recipient of God's grace. That's what it means. The angel showed up to her and said, "Mary, you are going to be a special recipient of God's amazing grace. God has chosen you, Mary, to receive God's special grace." So just for a moment, I want you to think about, from Mary's perspective, why she was chosen. Did God choose her because she was perfect? Did God choose her because she was sinless? Did God choose her because he needed her to dispense grace to the entire world? And the answer is no. Mary was troubled by the words. She was surprised that she, an ordinary person, was chosen to receive such a marvelous gift of God's grace. I want to illustrate this. This is a picture of The Sandlot, one of those movies that we watched growing up, and it illustrates what happens back in my day when I was in gym class. Back in those days, you would line up and you would pick teams, and you'd always start with the person who could bring the most to your team. Right? Maybe the person in this analogy who could throw the hardest, or maybe someone who could run the fastest, or maybe who had a really good skill at hitting the ball. You would always pick that person first because they could bring something to your team. You needed them. But I want to assure you that God did not pick Mary because she was perfect or she was sinless. God picked Mary to be a recipient of his amazing grace. And we know this because later in the passage, in Luke chapter 1, verse 46 and 47, Mary acknowledges that Jesus inside of her is her Savior. In other words, Mary said, "Hey, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I'm a sinner in need of grace. I need this gift of grace." And so I want to point out simply that number one, it all started with a gift of grace. God showed up. He sent an angel and says, Mary, I'm picking you. I'm choosing you. I'm gifting you. I'm blessing you. Not because you're someone great, right? I'm choosing you not because of your goodness. I'm choosing you, Mary, because of my grace. God gifted her with his grace. She was highly favored, again, not because of her goodness, but because of God's grace. He gave her his undeserved grace, his amazing grace. There's a second gift that God gave her, and this passage is extremely clear with this. Not only did God give Mary his grace, but number two, he gave Mary the gift of his son. We see this in verse 31. The angel says to Mary, you will conceive and give birth to a son, right? And you will call him Jesus. Mary at the time was pledged to be married to Joseph. We talked about this last week. Even though they were pledged to be married, they weren't married. They weren't living with each other. They haven't consummated the marriage. It would have been like an engagement time. They were apart, right? And the angel shows up and says, you're going to have a son. You're going to be having not just any son, you're going to be having Jesus, and he's going to be great. I shared this, I think, last Christmas. Imagine Mary as a mother, how proud she was of her son, Jesus, who was going to be the greatest of all sons. I mean, we learn that he is going to reign as a king forever and ever. He will rule and be proven to us as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is coming back. He's returning to the earth. That's her son. You know, all mothers do a great job, how proud they are of their kids, right? We will brag on our kids, moms and dads, but moms in particular, we are so proud and we will brag, right, on your kids, right? Imagine Mary. She has the trump card, right? She has the greatest of all kids, right? Imagine how that must have just sunk in, that she was being gifted, not just with a son, but with the son, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We learn of a third gift that Mary received. Not only did she receive the gift of God's grace, she also received the gift of God's Son. Number three, we learn in this passage that she also received the gift of God's Spirit. Look at this. Look at verse 35. Mary, because she's a virgin, she asked the question, well, how am I going to have a son? I'm pledged to Joseph, but we haven't consummated our marriage. So like, what's the game plan here? How am I supposed to have this very special, unique son, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? And the angel responds after Mary asks the question, how will this be? The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Mary learns that she was going to be supernaturally impregnated, that this was going to be a miracle of God, that she wasn't going to have to do it in a human way, that God was going to do it in a supernatural way through the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit was going to overshadow her. And so the Holy One to be born would be called the Son of God. So we learn that she not only is going to receive God's incredible grace, she also is going to receive this gift of the Son of God, Jesus. She didn't know exactly how, so she received a third gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, this incredible miracle. And now look at the fourth gift she receives. She receives the gift of his word. Look at verse 37. The angel says to Mary, he says two things, actually. He says, I just want to let you know that your relative, Elizabeth, she's also pregnant. And she wasn't able to become pregnant. But here's the word that I'm giving you. She's in pregnancy right now. She's in the sixth month of her pregnancy right now. right? And then God follows it up with this: no word from God will ever fail. You see, Mary not only received the gift of God's grace, she also received the gift of God's Son, the gift of God's Spirit, and then she also received God's promise, his word. And then finally, notice the fifth gift she receives. It's found in verse 38. She receives the gift of God's will. Look what verse 38 says. Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. And look what she says: "May your word be fulfilled." May your plan, may your will be fulfilled in my life. I don't know if you've ever looked at it this way before, but as you read that passage, as you read Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38, God showed up in an amazing way and gifted Mary with five incredible gifts. God gave her these five gifts. Now, I want you to notice something. What happens to Mary after she receives these five gifts? Again, not to be redundant, but I want this to sink in. She receives God's grace. She receives God's Son. She receives God's Spirit. She receives God's word. And she receives God's will. Now, think about how she responds. Think about what happens to her after receiving these gifts, right? Notice she's filled with hope. How do we know this? Because Mary sings a song. And we know about this song. It's in Luke chapter 1 in verse 46 through 55. And it's not going to be on the screen this morning, but I want you to look at this in your Bible. I want to read this to you. And I want you to hear the hope that comes out of this song as she contemplates what the angel said to her, as she thinks about these gifts that she's receiving, not because she deserves it, not because she's earned it, not because God needs her. She is just a recipient of God's grace, God's Son, God's Spirit, God's word, God's will. And look at what comes out of her. Hope. Look at verse 46. Mary responded. Okay? This is Mary's song of praise. Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary sings this song of praise. She is not only receiving the gift of hope, but hope just flows out of her. And I propose to you this morning that God's gifts not only filled her with hope, but hope flowed out of her. So the question I want to ask in my remaining time is this: how does this apply to you and I? What can we learn from this very familiar story? As we review the story, as we think about it from the angle that Mary received these five gifts, filling her with hope, how does this apply to you and I? Well, think about it. Has not God given you and I the same five gifts? Well, let's review real quickly. Hasn't God given us the gift of his grace? Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God." You see, God's amazing plan for you and I, it starts with his grace. You and I, we don't deserve salvation. The Bible says that we are sinners. The Bible says that we are not righteous. There's none of us are righteous. The Bible says that we cannot erase our sin. We cannot do enough good works. We can't go to church enough. We can't give enough money to the offering. There's not enough good we can do to erase our sin problem. And God knew this. So he had to give us his grace. He had to give us something that we didn't deserve. It was a gift. It was undeserved, unmerited favor that God blessed us with. Just like Mary, he favored us with his blessing and his amazing grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. But it gets better. Hasn't God also given us the gift of his son? Look at the most famous verse in all of Scripture, John 3:16. It says, for by grace, no, that doesn't say that. That's Ephesians 2:8. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave, there it is, his only begotten son. God gave the world an incredible gift. It's the gift of his son. That's what Christmas is all about. The fact that we had no hope, we had no salvation, we had no way to be redeemed, no way to be forgiven, yet Jesus Christ left the comforts of heaven. And because of his love for you and I who were sinners, God gave us the gift of his son who died in our place, who took the punishment of our sin, who went to the grave and resurrected from the grave. And he is the only way we can receive the gift of eternal life. Think about it. Just like Mary, not only did we receive his unmerited, undeserved, amazing gift of grace, we also received the gift of Jesus Christ. Think about this. After we receive the gift of Jesus Christ, we receive a third gift. Just like Mary, we receive the gift of his Holy Spirit. I want you to look at Acts chapter 2. It's not on the screen. Let me read it for you real quickly. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 explains to us that after we receive Jesus as our Savior, we also receive a second gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. It says this, Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. Okay, that's salvation. And then be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then look what happens. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, not only do we get the gift of Jesus Christ, not only do we get the gift of eternal life, we get the gift of the presence of the Holy Spirit. He takes up residence within us. He indwells us. He teaches us. He guides us. He leads us in this life, right? He conforms us and makes us more like Jesus Christ. It's a gift from God so that we don't have to live on this earth on our own. We don't have to figure out life on our own. We have someone walking with us every step of the way. God has given us the gift of his Spirit. Think about it. Just like Mary, not only have we received the gift of his grace, the gift of Jesus, the gift of his Spirit, but we also have received the gift of God's word. That's what 2 Timothy 3:16 says. It says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. When you look at verse 17, we learn that the reason God gave us his word is so that you and I can be thoroughly equipped. So we know how to live God's way in this world. God's word is a gift to you and I. And then finally, just like Mary, we also received the gift of his will. I love 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, and I want to read this for you. This is how we know what God's will is. Chapter 2, verse 3 of 1 Timothy says this, this is good and pleases God our Savior. Okay, this is, in other words, this is God's will given to you and I. This is what pleases him. This is what it says. He wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. Now listen to this. This is the message or the will God gave to the world. Here's my point. Like Mary, we have also received these five gifts. And I think during this time of year where we're receiving gifts and we're hoping that we receive certain gifts, let's remind ourselves as Christ followers, we've received these same five gifts. So here's the question. Here's the application. If God has given us these five gifts, should we not have hope? Should we not be filled with hope? Should not hope be coming out of us? Just like Mary, when she recognized the gifts that God gave her, she responded with hope. She was filled with hope, and she responded with hope. And it leads to a second question. Are we willing to give hope? You see, if God has put hope in us, then hope should be coming out of us. Hope should be given from us to others. I want you to think about this analogy. Think about someone giving you a gift, but let's have a little twist on this. Imagine someone gave you a gift and said, listen, this gift is for you, but it's also for someone else. And so something inside of this box, this present, is for you, but it's also designed for you to give away to someone else. Think about that. That's exactly what happened to Mary. The angel showed up to Mary and said, Mary, you're going to receive some grace. You're going to receive God's Son. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit, God's word, and God's will. But here's the plan. He's given you these gifts so that you will be a vessel and give this gift to the rest of the world. I'm putting Jesus in you so that ultimately Jesus will come out of you so that the rest of the world can experience hope. And in the same way, God has given us his grace as a gift. He's given us his Son as a gift. He's given us his Spirit, his word, his will as a gift, not so that we hold on to it, but so that we give it away. God's given us these gifts, filling us with hope so that we can give the gift of hope this Christmas to those in the world who do not know hope. And so here's the question. How will we respond? And I love how Mary responds. A very simple way in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Mary responds with these words. I am the Lord's servant. Matter of fact, she says it twice. In the song, she says, I am just a lowly servant. I am on this earth just to simply serve you. And I want to remind all of us this Christmas that the best way to not only encourage those around you is to tell your story of how God has given you the gift of hope, but encourage them to also receive the gift of hope. Serve God in that same amazing way. I hope this encourages you. Let me pray for you and ask God to carry this out in your life in some practical way. Father God, thank you so much for the privilege we have to be here this morning. Lord, we're thankful for this familiar story, the gift of hope that we learned through the story of Mary. God, we're so grateful that we can praise you for the gifts of grace and Jesus and his Spirit and his word and his will. And Father, I pray that that would fill us with hope this morning. And then, Lord, I pray that we would take it to the next step and that we would realize that we can give hope to the world who desperately needs it. Lord, help us to apply this to our life, and we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.